Let's turn again to the Epistle of James, reading the first half of the first chapter. And I'm not going to reread our text, but our text is going to be verses 5 through 8. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse trials, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that she may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof faileth, and the grace of the fashion of it perish. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. May God bless the reading and the preaching of his word again this evening. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, last Sunday night, we were taught the first lesson on practical Christianity that the Holy Spirit brings through the Apostle James. Patience. Patience that is brought and obtained through faith and the trial of our faith. And now the Holy Spirit teaches us a second lesson. Wisdom is obtained through prayer. Now, is James bringing an entirely new subject together? It could very well be. These are both spiritual gifts that are given to us. Patience and now wisdom. But there's also a connection. We need wisdom in order that we will have joy in the trials of our faith, which works patience. We need wisdom. That is, we need to take the truths of God's word and apply it to our daily walk. What is wisdom? Where is wisdom to be found? Why do we so desperately need it? How do we ask for it? How does God give it? My theme is wisdom through prayer. Wisdom through prayer. What is needed? Second of all, our need to ask for it. And then thirdly, how God will give it. What is needed, our need to ask for it, how it is given. Our text, verse 5, says, if any of you lack wisdom. And the question is asked rhetorically. In other words, we could translate it, since all of us need wisdom. Do you recognize your need for it? Do I recognize my need for it? It's a spiritual gift. We need wisdom, which means discernment. It means judgment. What it means is application. That is, doing the right thing in the right way. Now notice with me that wisdom is not to be confused with intellectual knowledge. Yes, that intellectual knowledge is needed, but wisdom is more than that. It is to know the will of God and then to possess the skill to live in harmony with it. A man may read all the different manuals that there are about farming, but he might not have the wisdom in order to know when and how to plant his crops, how to care for the animals. Or a person might have a lot of technology, knowledge of it, but wouldn't know the first thing of how to do something with his car. A person can have a master's degree, and yet when it comes to practical issues in their life, they're lost. So what is wisdom? It is the ability, the discernment, to take truths of God's word and then apply it to our lives, to order our lives in obedience to that revealed will of God. Jesus gives two very good illustrations of that. In Matthew chapter 7, we have there the wise and the foolish builder. That is, all these men know the reality of wind and rain and floods, but they don't act accordingly. The one knowing that there's always going to be these winds and high water tides coming, he makes sure that his house is built on a rock so that it doesn't wash away the foundations. But the foolish man, he also knows that the wind is always howling, that the seas can be rough, there can be high tides, but he still plants his house on that sand that can be eroded away. Think a moment of the many cottages and homes along Lake Michigan. In the last years, as the water table has come up, as the winds blow, the storms, and those big houses tumble down into the lake. They don't use what they know about the weather and about the waters and the floods coming. Or Jesus gives another illustration of this in Matthew 25. There, the young virgins all know that the bridegroom is coming, and he is coming soon. But what do they do with that knowledge? Five of those virgins know he is coming soon, and so they prepare themselves by getting enough oil for their lamps. The foolish ones know he's coming, but they sleep, and they don't have the oil for their lamps. We need the ability, the discernment, to take the truths of God's word and now apply them to our lives, apply them to our occupation, apply them to our family relations, our marriages, etc. We need, beloved, the wisdom of God. You see, we need to right away distinguish between the wisdom of God and the wisdom of the world. The world would turn in the newspapers to Ann Landers. What shall I do in this kind of situation? What shall I do in this kind of situation? Or they go to their self-help books. This is how I'm going to improve my marriage. This is how I'm going to increase my business, etc. The wisdom of the world is foolishness. We read in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 19, this is God, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? Foolishness. If we look a little bit further in the book of James, chapter 3, verse 15, we read there, this wisdom. And he's talking there about the wisdom of the world. James 3, verse 13, who is a wise man endowed with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly and sensual and devilish. What is the wisdom of the world? It's me, myself, and I. How do I get ahead? How do I promote my self-interest over against the wisdom of God? Job asks where the wisdom that we need is to be found, and he answers it in Job chapter 28. Listen to this question. But where shall wisdom be found, and where is the place of understanding? In Job, then, in those next verses, says, it's not in man. It is not found in the land of the living. It's not in the depths of the sea. It cannot be bought with gold or silver or precious stones. Verse 20, whence then cometh wisdom, and where is the place of understanding? Hid from all the eyes of the living, we read in verse 23, Job 28, verse 23, God understandeth the way thereof, and he knoweth the place thereof. Job 28, verse 28, and unto man he said, behold, the fear of God, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil, that is understanding. Taking the truths of God and applying it first of all to ourselves, then applying it to all of our different relationships and all of our activities. Wisdom is personified in Proverbs chapter 8. It's another name for Christ Jesus. Christ, we read in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30, Christ is of God, made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Why? Why is God to be our wisdom, your and my wisdom? Because wisdom is God's gift to us. God is wisdom. He reveals himself in his word. He is the all-wise God. That's one of his attributes. In 1 Timothy 1, verse 17, we read there that God is the only wise God that there is. God is wise. And in his infinite wisdom, in his perfect wisdom, in eternity, he determined the end from the beginning. That is, he had a goal. And what was that goal? That goal was his glory. His glory revealed in his Son, Jesus Christ. His glory revealed in saving for himself a church given unto Jesus Christ. A church who by the Holy Spirit and by his word is guided through their life living for him. God in his wisdom determined all things. The great things in life, but also the small, minute things. By his providence, he works all things toward that goal, realized finally in the new heavens and the new earth. You see, in God's wise planning, in God's providence, everything has meaning, everything has significance in relation to his Son, Jesus Christ, crucified and risen again from the dead. We read of that in Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 and following. God's wisdom, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him, that is in Christ, should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you, that were sometimes alienated in enmities in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through the death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. And if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven. What a beautiful plan. All things having their goal, God's glory, in Christ Jesus, a church reconciled to God through Christ's cross. The wisdom of God. And why do we desperately need that wisdom? If any lacketh wisdom, it's not a doubt. It's not really a question. It's saying we all do need that wisdom. Why? Because of ourselves through sin, we are so foolish and sinful. As we examine ourselves in this coming week to prepare to come to the Lord's table, if we're honest in that examination, we're going to hang our head down in shame and say, be merciful to me, God. Be merciful. My sins are so many, and so many times I go by my own thinking, or I even pander to the thinking of the world, how I'm going to live my life, who I'm going to date and how I'm going to date, what I'm going to do on that date, how I'm going to do my business, how I'm going to run my home, how I will care for my wife, how I will obey my husband, how I care for my children. So many foolish things that we do because we don't seek God's wisdom to take the teaching of his word and apply it to ourselves first of all. We need that wisdom because Satan comes with his temptations as he did to Adam and Eve. And Adam and Eve had the knowledge of what God said. Thou shalt not eat of it, for the day thou eatest thereof, thou wilt surely die. They had the knowledge, but they did not have the will. They were foolish in their understanding. Listen to the temptation of Satan. You will be equal with God. They did not apply the truth of God to their lives and say, no, get behind me, Satan. Go away. So we need the wisdom of God in those temptations. Don't entertain them. Don't dwell on those temptations. Don't let them keep on running through your mind. For as you think about those temptations and the pleasures of those temptations, you're already giving way to sin. We need that wisdom in temptations. We're going to talk about temptations later on in the book. But we need that wisdom also in the trials of life. When that little child is ripped away from us by death. Or when God takes away our spouse. Or when we have a rebellious child. It is so easy in those times, a long lingering illness, it's so easy in those times to doubt, to fear, to get angry. Why, God? Where are you? Rather than taking the truths of God's word and applying it to every one of those trials, saying God is wise in what he does, God is good in what he does. Do I understand his purpose? No, but I grasp that truth that God is wise. He sends these trials, and I am to submit to him. To say with Job, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away, blessed be the name of the Lord. Or to say as his body is filled with this illness, these boils on his skin, I know that I shall see God with my eyes, in my flesh. Wisdom. To count it joy when we are tried, and to be patient in those trials. For in wisdom we see God's gracious direction of our lives. He is the potter, we're the clay, and he is molding us, he is shaping us, he is chiseling off our rough spots, all for his glory. Does anyone lack wisdom? God alone is wise, an attribute of God, God's determination to attain the highest goal for himself, the glory of his name, and the best way of attaining that glory. He reveals himself in Jesus Christ. The wisdom of God. Christ is the full revelation of God, the image of God. Jesus says, he who has seen me has seen my Father who's in heaven. A wisdom earned for you and me by Jesus Christ, suffering and death on the cross. That wisdom freely given to those who ask for it. They will receive Christ and his Spirit. By wisdom, knowing the truths of God's word, the child of God can choose the highest goal of his life. And what is the highest goal? Answer it with me. What is the highest goal of our life? Is it not communion and fellowship with God? Walking and talking with him now already each day of our lives and then forever in heaven? And is not wisdom our applying those truths then to every aspect of our calling that we live, and we count it even all joy when we are given those trials? Yes, Proverbs 3, verse 5. And 6, acknowledge the Lord in all thy ways, and he shall direct thy paths. So wisdom is of God. We need it. Notice, second of all, then, we need to ask for wisdom. Let him ask. Proverbs 2, verse 6, the Lord giveth wisdom. Ask of God. Be careful of other advisors. Boys and girls, do you remember that story of King Rehoboam? He comes to his throne. He's still quite young. And the people come to him and said, your father Solomon was taxing us very heavily. Will you ease off? Give us a break. The older advisors came to Rehoboam and they said, hear the people. Hear them, and they will gladly serve you. But then the other advisors, the young advisors, we could call them the little snot noses. Yeah, show them who's boss. Tell them you're going to be hard with them. Rehoboam very foolishly listened to the younger advisors. He chose poorly. And yes, he paid for it. The 10 tribes were taken away from him. They left him. So we need to ask for wisdom, looking to the true advisor for your and my life, the one who created us, the one who in his providence brings all of history through and works out his plan, the one who knows you and me as his children. We desire wisdom. How do we get it? We ask of God. Not doing what is best in our eyes, not what seems convenient. Young people and your dates, how are you going to conduct yourself? Don't say, well, everyone else is doing it. Those are bad advisors. How are you going to work out your marriages, you who are and I who are married? What I feel like on a certain day? How are you going to conduct your business? The planning and scheming that goes on in business, cutthroat at times to competitors? If we want to understand the will of God, it means that you and I, first of all, have to be right with God. We have to know him as our God and thus submit to him. It means then submitting to his word. You and I need to be like young Solomon was. He was made king over that mighty people. And when God asks him, what would you that I give to you? Solomon looked at his own inadequacy and he asked God to give him that which he needs to rule that people. 1 Kings chapter 3. And God gave him all other things besides wisdom. So ask. And really here, while this whole pericope that we're looking at is dealing with wisdom, we almost have a second sermon which is about prayer. Prayer in general. What is prayer? The verb that is used here is to demand. Let him ask. Let him demand of God this wisdom. Now you ask, is that right? For you and I, sinners, to demand something of God? And the answer is yes, we can do that because that is our gift in Christ Jesus. You have every, and I have every right to ask, to demand of God, look, I'm inadequate. I need that wisdom. So I take the truths of thy word and I apply it to dating and to marriage and to why work, etc. On the merits of Christ Jesus and the promises of God, where he says, ask and you'll receive, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened unto you. Yes. The asking is demanding of God what he has promised in his word. He will lead and guide us by his spirit and word. But to ask of God also has the notion of extreme urgency. Urgency out of great need. Lord, all these things are around me. I live in a wicked world, and I know my own sinful flesh. Lord, I need thy guidance. I need this wisdom. So I take the principles of thy word, and I am able to apply it to these various areas of my life. Ask of God, demand, urgency. And thirdly, the tense of the verb in Greek translates, let him keep on asking. Let him keep on demanding this of God. Let him keep on hanging on to God's promises. Constancy is needed. That's what we learn in Lord's Day 45, that we are to pray persistently. The parable that Jesus teaches about the woman who comes to the judge. She needs his judgment, and he's an ungodly judge. And it's only as she has persisted every day coming to him, and he says, I'm going to get wearied. I better just give her what she needs because I am sick and tired of her coming. What is that relation to God? It is teaching you and me as his children in trials. Keep asking. Keep seeking. Keep on knocking. Not just once, I tried it, Lord, and I didn't hear anything. No. In our many trials and in temptations, you and I are to pray without ceasing. In fact, our whole life should be one constant prayer to God for that wisdom, for every step that we take in our life. You boys and girls, when you're in school, some teachers are easy to listen to, some are a little more difficult. Some of your tasks are easy, some are not so. Asking for wisdom. Young teenagers, with all the temptations that are out there, what a trial. Will you listen to God? Will you ask him for his wisdom? Or will you do what seems best for your flesh, what's more pleasurable? Every age, to the very moment that we are old folks ready for the grave, even in those last days when the Satan loves to come with his temptations when we're weak. Ask God for wisdom so that you don't despair of life, but you believe that God is leading you step by step and will preserve you and take you home. How are we to ask? We ask of God because God is a giving God. And then we ask, realizing that of ourselves we're empty. And so we come with open arms to the great fountain, our God in heaven in Christ Jesus. What an overflowing fountain. Our praying should first of all be specific. We are to ask, Lord, give me the wisdom in this situation or that situation. Here's the trial I'm going through, Father. You know that trial. You've given me that trial. Give me wisdom. How do I react in that trial? Over there, Satan coming with his temptations. Lord, you know those temptations come, that there is these powers of darkness. Give me wisdom so I can take the word of God. Isn't that what the Lord Jesus did? Remember those temptations that came to Jesus in the wilderness? There Jesus had not eaten for 40 days and for 40 nights. And there Satan comes there in the wilderness to tempt him. He comes in the appearance of a friend. Ah, Jesus, look at all your power. There's no reason for you to suffer like this. Just say the word and these stones will become bread. Jesus Christ had to take the word of God that he learned as a young boy growing up and apply it. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's wisdom. And the wisdom finally is, get behind me, Satan. Pray specifically for wisdom in your various trials and temptations. Ask it of your God in heaven, who is all wise and all powerful, who loves you so much that he gave his own son, Jesus Christ. He'll give you everything that you stand in need of. He will give you grace that is all sufficient. Ask in faith, not wavering. Ask in faith. You see, doubting is really sin. If God says, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened unto you, believe him. Believe him. He hears our prayers. Not going back and forth. Maybe he'll help me. Maybe he won't help me. Doubting is really being two-souled. It is really a straddling of the fence. It is with one foot in the church believing and another foot in the world listening to what the world says and going back and forth. It's kind of like Israel during the reign of King Ahab, serving God, but also serving Baal, back and forth. And that's why Elijah had to say, choose you this day who you're going to serve. Pray, not doubting, not going back and forth. We must pray for wisdom, loving God, and resisting the temptations. Don't yield to the temptations. He says, not doubting and not being unstable, not yielding. I spoke earlier, boys and girls, about young Solomon, didn't I? Beautiful request that he came of God. I need wisdom to lead these people. And yet, as Solomon grew older, and as he grew in his riches and the kingdom was prospering, he was not very wise in much of his life, marrying heathen wives, building temples for them. He didn't apply God's word to his own personal life until finally, late in his life, he sees the foolishness and the sin, and he repented. So we do not pray for wisdom if we love the pleasures of the world and we want to give our flesh to those pleasures of the world. No. The warning. We have to love God's word because we love our God. We have to know that word of God and with wisdom from God, apply it to our hearts, our lives, our relationships. What a vivid picture. Can you see the picture that the Holy Spirit paints with James? Don't be like the waves of the sea. The wind blows and the tides go in and out, and those waves become very boisterous, and a little ship on the sea goes back and forth. Don't be like that. Trust in God, love his word, pray to him for wisdom to guide your life like a ship through the storms of your life. We need wisdom. Notice, second of all, we ask God for that wisdom. That brings me to my third point. how God gives it. And there, really, beloved, is the incentive to our asking. If you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that's the second point, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. You got three things in that verse. The incentive, ask of God for wisdom, for he giveth liberally, doesn't he? That's the positive. God gives openly. God gives freely. God gives sincerely. Because he's moved by his own gracious desire to give to his redeemed what they stand in need of. Doesn't God give us so many things in the physical realm liberally? I have so many suits in my closets that my wife says I have to get rid of some. We have so much food in our freezers and cupboards. When the girls come over, we say, hey, take some home with you. Who of you or I lack physically? We live here in this land of plenty. Ah, the Lord has given us so liberally all things. And here in our text, ask of God for wisdom, who giveth to all liberally. God doesn't give with his hand kind of holding most of it back and says, well, here's a little bit. But he pours out as that ever-flowing stream or fountain. He will give liberally to his people what they ask for, and here specifically, wisdom. Or if you don't want to look at the physical, God gives liberally. What has he given for you and me? He's given his own Son, Jesus Christ. And if God has given us his Son, how much more will he not give us all that we stand in need of for body and soul? Romans 8, verse 32. He that spared not his Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? We don't have to earn it. We surely don't deserve it. But God gives liberally wisdom, because it flows from his abundant mercy. He sees our own helplessness, our own foolishness, and so he liberally gives of his wisdom to us. And beloved, God gives through means, doesn't he? God gives that necessary wisdom through the means of prayer. That's this text. Ask, and ye shall receive. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. And we read there that God gives to all. It doesn't mean all people head for head, but it means he gives to all of his servants, no matter what your nationality, no matter what your situation, no matter what your age, whether you're young, whether you're old, whether you're somewhere in between, God gives to all of his servants in Christ Jesus who pray fervently and unceasingly. Whether they be Jew or Greek or barbarian, low or high degree, all. He gives to all through prayer, imparting that wisdom through his revealed word, the scriptures. That's why you and I should start the day reading the scriptures. You don't know what the day is going to bring. You don't know what trial is going to come. You don't know what temptation will bombard you. But you go to God's word and then you take it with you through the day to guide you to make wise and good decisions. That's why we begin the week, isn't it, together as a congregation. We come together to hear God's word so we may know his will, praying that through that word we'll be guided in our decisions, in our actions. Through prayer, through his word, God imparts wisdom, thirdly, through godly companions. That's why the church is so important. We're not islands. But you and I need godly companions who will say, no, don't do that. That is foolish. That's sinful. What a difference what friends you have, who you hang out with. Are they going to help you on the road to sanctification, or are they going to be hindrances to you and you have to say, get behind me, Satan? Oh, the importance of the communion of saints. Rejoicing during joyful times with one another, sorrowing at other times with one another. God gives liberally, that's one, that's the positive incentive of praying for wisdom. But second of all, negatively, God doesn't upbraid. What does that mean? God doesn't ridicule. God doesn't say, I'm sick and tired of you. You should know better at this time. Sometimes maybe parents do that. What do you have to ask me again for? Don't you know what you're supposed to do? Because parents are weak and are sinful. Or they scold, you owe me. God says, ask as often as you wish and as you need. God doesn't say like parents might say, you work and figure it out for yourself. God does not reproach, does not give grudgingly. God gives his grace and Holy Spirit to those who sincerely and consciously ask him. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, upbraideth not, and then latch hold of the promise. And it shall be given to him. That's a promise. You need knowledge, wisdom? Yes. Ask God, and he gives liberally. Amen. Father in heaven, we pray for that wisdom this week. As we go through our life, looking back, looking at where we're at, as we ask questions of ourselves, do I love the Lord? Do I want to live for the Lord? Do I take the word of God to guide me in my actions? Lord, we will see much sin. Work in us sorrow for that sin. Give us eyes that then look to thee and plead with thee, oh Lord, give me wisdom. Give it to me liberally, not upbraiding me, so that I may now know my salvation is in Jesus Christ, and I desire to please him with my whole life in all that I do. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.